Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our reflections and meditations on Jesus of the Gospels. We are taking the Gospel of Mark as our guide and incorporating also the other reports from the other Gospels. We had seen that in the second and third chapters of the Gospel of Mark, the evangelist reports five conflicts of Jesus with the leaders of Israel, mainly the lawyers and Pharisees. We have already analyzed three of such disputes. The dispute that was initiated by Jesus forgiving the sins of a paralytic. Then there was the dispute about Jesus eating, or the disciples of Jesus eating with the so-called untouchables. And there was a dispute about the fasting. Jesus was going around feasting while disciples of Pharisees and John the Baptist were fasting. So what is the relation between fasting and feasting? How is it possible that Jesus could go around celebrating, eating sumptuous meals when others were fasting? So now we come to the fourth such dispute. The fourth and the fifth disputes are centered around the concept of Sabbath. I'll read the passage first and then we'll make our reflections as usual. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" So Sabbath is the center of attention. The disciples of Jesus are being accused by the Pharisees for doing something that was not lawful to do on Sabbath. And Jesus is defending his disciples' conduct by citing an example from the Old Testament and then giving a statement about his understanding concerning Sabbath and also a statement about the personality, the person of the Son of Man. Now, first, let us see what this Sabbath is. First, the term Sabbath, how does it originate, what is the law concerning Sabbath, and how was it being practiced in the time of Jesus? To begin with, Sabbath, the law of Sabbath, pertains to the Ten Commandments, the most important commandments of the covenant. We have already seen several times that the list of the commandments, or the Ten Commandments, is repeated in the Old Testament. We have two reports about it. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, give two different lists of the Ten Commandments. The number remains the same, and the commandments also mostly the same, but there is some kind of a change, difference in the two lists. First, I'll read from the book of Exodus the commandment concerning Sabbath. That is book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. So one is asked to keep Sabbath, not to do any work on the day of Sabbath. And the motivation for not doing any work on Sabbath is given from the account of creation, that God created heaven and earth and all that it contains in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. So the Sabbath is motivated by God's rest. If God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day, for the same reason, people also should work 6 days of the week but rest on the seventh day. So the Sabbath or rest is a participation in the rest of God. This is the interpretation given in the book of Exodus. The same law is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, but with a different nuance. Chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The commandment is given that people should rest on the seventh day. But the reason given here in the book of Deuteronomy is not God terminating or bringing to perfection the act of creation, but God bringing slaves out of the slavery in Egypt. Israel was enslaved in Egypt, and God, with a mighty hand, brought them out of the land of bondage. Remembering this act of liberation by God, the people of Israel is asked to give freedom or rest to their slaves, their animals, and their children. So the emphasis is on rest in the book of Deuteronomy, whereas in the book of Exodus, the emphasis was on dedicating a day to the service of God. There it was said, people shall enter the rest of God. Here it is said, people should be given rest. So here in the book of Deuteronomy, Sabbath is presented as a right to rest, as a right of a person who works. It is the fundamental right of every human being who works that they should be given the time to rest. A work without rest will destroy the person. So people should be given rest. So it's a sociological implication of the rest, and Sabbath is emphasized in the book of Deuteronomy, whereas the theological and eschatological implication is emphasized in the book of Exodus. Whatever be the implication, the commandment comes to this, that people should rest on Sabbath. Now, the law of Sabbath is presented as a law of the commandment, law of the covenant. But even before this law was made as a law of the covenant of God with the Israelites, this rest on the seventh day was practiced among the people of Mesopotamia. In all Babylon, there was a custom, there was a way of looking at the days, dividing the week into 7 days. And the seventh day they used to call Shabbatu or Shabbatu, meaning a day of quietening, a quieting the heart, a day of ceasing from work. In the Hebrew word Sabbath means or rest from work, stop working. Whereas the Shabbatu of the Babylonian was a day of quieting. Again, coming to the concept of rest. But at the same time, this had another implication. The seventh day was a day of an adverse, was an evil demon. And any work done on that day will not prosper. So the Babylonians advised everybody not to work, especially physicians, kings, farmers, priests. They were not allowed to work because none of this work would produce any fruit. So because this is a day of an adverse demon, a demon inimical to humanity, they stopped working. And it is understandable that a sociological need was given a theological interpretation. It's a need for human beings to rest. A work without rest will destroy the person. So there is a fundamental need of every human being and animal that works that they should be given time to rest. And a theological motivation, interpretation given to this sociological need will be better accepted by the people. Many of the religious laws originate from this sociological background. For example, the law concerning the pure and impure animals, the law concerning the rest or the impurity of women at certain time of their lives. These are all sociological laws giving an opportunity for the people to rest, giving some important laws, hygienic regulations. And these laws are given theological motivations in order to enforce it much easier and a better way. So the Babylonians used to practice the Sabbath. And the division of the week into 7 days was further, went further in dividing the entire year. So they used to divide a unit of 7 weeks, making 49 days, and the 50th day was considered as a day of rest. Again, this unit of 7 weeks multiply with another seven units. So you make 50 into seven, you get 350 days. And after these 350 days, they take 2 weeks, so 14 days as a day of feast and rest. And finally, the 15th day or the 365th day was a great day of celebration. So the division of days into weeks and weeks of weeks was all practiced in Mesopotamia. Later on, Bible accepts it, accepts this agrarian practice. In fact, the Babylonian practice was concerned with the cultivation, the cycle of the year. So the land should be given rest, as people should be given rest. A land that is being cultivated without giving much manure and without giving any rest would become fruitless. So after 6 years, the seventh year was considered a sabbatic year, and that year was not to be a year of cultivation. And then the unit of 7 years, with the seven, there comes the 49 years, and the 50th year is the greatest unit in the Babylonian calendar. So a unit of 50 years makes a complete unit. And here we have, in the biblical tradition, the year of Jubilee, the 50th year. So this is a kind of agrarian practice. The people who work should be given rest. The land that is being cultivated should be also given rest. So this idea of rest is somehow incorporated into the lifestyle and life rhythm of humans and the earth. And this agrarian practice is accepted, adopted by the Bible. And this is somehow given a theological motivation. And we have seen in the book of Deuteronomy, it is related to the liberation from Egypt, and in the book of Exodus, it is related to the act of creation. In either case, or in both cases, the rest, the aspect of rest is important, the day of rest, day of Sabbath. But as time went by, the Sabbath became a very important, maybe the most important law as far as the Jews were concerned. And the importance of the Sabbath grew to its maximum during the exile. When in the year 587, the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed and the king was taken captive and thousands of people were led captives into Babylon, they lost everything. They lost their identity as a people of God. Then they had somehow to keep this identity. Even when they had no temple, they had no worship, no sacrifice and no king, they wanted to keep themselves as the people of God. How do they manifest? How can they express their identity as the people of God? Then came the law of Sabbath. Don't work once a week. The seventh day should be considered a holy day, a Sabbath day. And we shall see how important it was for the people of God, the day of Sabbath. After the exile, when they came back, the religious reform initiated by Ezra and then later by Nehemiah gives great importance to this law of Sabbath. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 10, verse 31, "And if the peoples of the land bring in merchandise or any grain on Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath." So no business to be conducted on Sabbath. And this has become a greater law in the chapter 13 of the same book, Nehemiah, chapter 13, verses 15 to 22. "In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them at that time against selling food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of merchandise and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I remonstrated with the nobles of Judah and said to them, 'What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your ancestors act in this way, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath.'" Profaning the Sabbath, that was a crime, according to Nehemiah. So we see, during the exile and after the exile, the law of Sabbath become much more strict. And the emphasis is somehow being shifted from the aspect of rest to that of no work. What is important is that you should not do any work, rather than you should do rest. And this became much more severe during the time of Jesus. And in our next reflection, we will consider how it was being practiced during the time of Jesus, how difficult it had become for the people to observe the Sabbath, and how Jesus responded or reacted to this. And the reaction of Jesus to the Sabbath was a grave matter, and the leaders took it also seriously. So in our next reflection, we see how Jesus responded, how Jesus observed and reacted to the law of Sabbath. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a day of rest, to remember that you created everything and all that you created is perfect. And you have invited us to enter into your rest. And the day of Sabbath reminds us of the need of dedicating our lives to you, of reflecting of your presence in our daily life. Enable us to be with you, to enter into your rest. Help us not to be tied down by the work that enslaves us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us rest. Thank you, Lord, for promising us a rest eternal, that is life of happiness with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit.